So we jump into the word of the Lord right now. Let's go to the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the New Living Translation. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. We are on the way of witness. Each month we have various themes that actually helps us build our understanding of what it means to be on the way of the disciple as a church, where we help one another from the pulpit, in our tribes, in our youth, wherever we may be, whatever activity and ministry we stand in, to help and disciple God's people and build up where we are going. Last month, we had the way of service. This month is the way of witness. If you read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 from the New Living Translation, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then if we jump to Revelation 12 and verse 1 from the New Living Translation, it says, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." So just a little bit of a recap from last week when we discussed the way of service. And I would also encourage those that were in first service to go and watch the second service. I know the team has already loaded on YouTube Pastor Nigel's sermon on the way of a servant. Please go and watch that. It's a good way for you and I to recap and to rememorize for ourselves what the Lord has been saying to us. But a way of recap from last week, we said that Jesus states emphatically that we are servant of all, and then the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to the profit of all. So I said last week, that is the golden thread. That's the golden thread of what it means to live a life of service. That we are called to be servant of all to the profit of all. And how do we become the prophet of all? And when we say prophet of all, we're not speaking of prophetic ministry right now. We're not speaking of being one that can give a word to people. We're speaking of the word prophet, being a benefit, P-R-O-F-I-T, the prophet of all, to being a benefit, to being of value to the people that the Lord has given us, to the people that we influence, the areas we have to influence, where we have to go. And with that being said, so taking it from being a servant of all to a prophet of all, how it works with us becoming the way and walking the way of witness, it's because the mission of the church, and I want us all to hear this now, the mission of the church is to grow the footprint of the kingdom of God in our everyday life. That's the mission of the church, to grow the footprint of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God must grow beyond the borders of the church, because the kingdom of God is without border. The kingdom of God is without limitation. The kingdom of God is without restriction. So what you and I are called to do in this way of witness, in being servant of all, to the profit of all, we increase the footprint of the kingdom of God. We take the kingdom with us everywhere we go. So ours, my brothers and sisters, is to make real God in a world that cries out for him. Our duty on the way of witness is to make real God. We have to make him real in a world that cries out for him. So if you and I are on the way of witness, I want us to go to Isaiah 43, 10 to 13. It says, "But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done." That's Isaiah 43, 10 to 13 for those that are taking notes. So on the way of witness, if we read that scripture, it encapsulates for us that the power of the believer's witness, my brothers and my sisters, is birthed in the purpose of making God real in a world, as we've said, that cries out to Him and cries out for Him. Purpose drives our witness. I'm going to say it again. Purpose drives our witness because we have a testimony. Pastor Kogi shared her testimony. We all have a testimony. And in the testimony out of Isaiah 43, 10 and 13, the Lord said, I have rescued you. No one has done what I have done. No one can do for you what I have done for you. So you are my witnesses, he says. You show the world that I've saved you for a purpose. You show the world that your witness is driven by the purpose that I have birthed in your life. If we jump to Ephesians 2 and verse 10 from the New King James Version, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So not only is it purpose that drives our witness, now we must understand the power of the believer's witness is evidenced by the productive use of time, talents, and treasures. Our productivity witnesses to a world that must see the Bible and Christian ethic in full effect. We are workers of good. So what does it mean to you and I? Our productivity is a witness. So the believer's witness is the effective use, the productive use of our time, our treasure, and our talents. We witness to the world when we are productive. We witness to the world when we showcase that we are not lazy people. We are not lackadaisical people. We don't just accept what the world gives us. We don't just accept any moniker and any type of identification that the world gives us. We are productive people. We are good works people. We do good works. We are called for good works because we are His workmanship. And for that purpose, we are productive. May you be productive in everything that the Lord puts in your care. May you be productive in your time. May you be productive in your talents. May you be productive in your treasures. May you understand that when the world looks at you, they want to see a productive church. They want to see a church that is the evidence of God's good work. They want to see people that are the evidence of God's good work. I prophesy right now, you are the good work of the Lord in the world that you are in. You are the good work of the Lord in the family that you serve. You are the good work of the Lord in the area where you go. The people will know and see the productivity of heaven is upon us. So not only does purpose drive our witness, but productivity is evidence of our witness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 10, New King James Version. It says to us, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We said it's about the purpose, it's about productivity, and now I want to say this to the church. The power of the believer's witness is refined by pain. With painful moments and seasons that solidify our faith and our faithfulness. Witnesses are refined by their pain and thus testify to God's redeeming grace. We are not promised a painless existence, but grace in the midst of our difficulties. Our pain drives the purpose of our testimony. Pain can be utilized in three ways. Number one, it can become a crutch. It can become a crutch. People must pity us because we are marked and identified by our pain. It becomes a crutch when we have painful moments and painful experiences. It becomes a crutch. And you know what crutches do? Crutches are supposed to hold you up when you can't walk. So we lean on our pain. People must pity us. People must have pity parties when they see us. People must pray for us. People must always feel bad for us when they see us, because we use our pain as a crutch. Number two, it can become a weapon. People weaponize their pain to hurt other people. They hurt others because they don't know how to relieve their own pain. So not only do we use it as a crutch, but it becomes a weapon. There are people in your life that uses their pain and they weaponize it against you. Because they are in pain, you must be in pain. Because they cannot get relief for their pain, they cause other people pain. We have to use our pain, number three, as a tool, as a resource. People must use their pain as a tool and a resource to help build other people. This is the core of using pain as a witness. Jabez prayed and said, Lord, help me. Take this evil from me that I may cause no one pain. Because pain becomes your witness. Because if we read what Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I have pain, but I'm not broken. I have pain, but it doesn't dictate what I see and what I am. I have pain, but I'm not identified by it. I use the pain of my life to become a witness and a testimony. Because if He could do it for me, if He could carry me out of my pain, if He could carry me out of my painful moments, surely there is a God in heaven that will carry you and yours out of your pain. Pain is a tool. Pain is a tool. If you use pain as a crutch, Father, bring deliverance in this room that we no longer lean on pain to help us, to be a crutch to us so that people must pity us. You have given us a new identity. You have given us a new understanding. You have made us witnesses with the pain that we carry. If you use pain as a weapon, may the Lord redeem you and save you. May the Lord forgive you. You must use your painful moments as a tool and a resource to build somebody else. Because if God can do it for me, He will do it for you. If God can save me, He will save you. We have a command to witness. We have a command to witness. Christ has given us a clear command to witness. The last command is for you and I to go into all the world and to become His witnesses. This command, which is called also the Great Commission, was not intended merely for the 11 remaining disciples, or just for the apostles, or for those in present times who may have the gift of evangelism. This command is the responsibility of every man and woman who professes faith in Christ as Lord. Christ commands us to a life of witness. He commands us to a life of witness. Men and women are lost without Jesus the Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God's word reminds us there is salvation in no one else but Him. There are men and women out there that are lost without Him. And my brothers and my sisters, we don't have to go far. We don't have to go to China to go and witness. We don't have to go into deep, dark Africa to go and witness. Just open your door. Just go next door to your neighbor and you will see people crying out for the grace and the salvation of the Lord. Men and women in this world are truly lost without Jesus the Christ. He is the only way. He is the only way to bridge the gap between man and God. Without him, people cannot know him. Without him, people have no hope of eternity. People have no hope of eternal life. The love of Christ Jesus compels us to witness. His love compels us to witness. Jesus said, "The one who obeys me is the one who loves me." John 14 and 21. In other words, he measures our love for him by the extent and the genuineness of our obedience to him. As we obey, he promises to reveal himself to us. We understand helping to fulfill the Great Commission is both a duty and a privilege. We witness because we love Christ. We witness because he loves us. We witness because we want to honor and obey him. We witness because he gives us a special love for others. Why? Because his love compels us. Paul writes that. He says, "Owe no man but the debt of love." Because his love compels us. His love drives us. Siloam, we are a blessed church. We are a favored people. We know the goodness of the Lord. We receive the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is calling us to a higher understanding of his blessing. That his blessing calls us to obedience. And that his blessing and his love compels us to witness in the world. We want the church to overflow, we must witness. We want the church to overflow, we must share the love of God. I say this to you, yes, we are a blessed church. So please, don't be worried about the blessing. Don't be worried about God's favor. Don't be too concerned with prosperity. Don't be too concerned with the wealth of this world. The Lord has given it to us. We have it in abundance. We have it in overflow. We know his hand is upon us. Now is the season. Now is the time that this church must say, "Lord, make us witnesses in this world. Yes, you have blessed us. Yes, you have graced us. But we want to see others know who you are. We want to see others come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Because we want them to become children of God. We want them to know that their bodies are the temples of God. We want them to know that all of their sins are forgiven. We want them to know that they begin to experience the peace and the love of God. They can receive God's direction and purpose for their lives. They experience the power of God to change their lives. So I am saying to the church this morning, change how you pray. Change how you worship. Change how you read your Bible. Change how you give. Change how you understand your place in this world. Change it, because it is not for us to grow bigger and fatter. It's not for us to grow in stature and be seen as a big church and be praised to be a big church. Our prayer, O Lord, is for the lost. Our prayer, O Lord, is not bless me, and bless me indeed. Our prayer is, "Lord, make me a blessing that I can go into this world and have my purpose of witness being seen. Lord, make me a blessing so that I can go into this world and be productive as a witness. Lord, make me a blessing that I can take the pain and the testimony of my life and share it with others so that they know who you are." The blessing will never leave this church. The blessing will never leave this church. It's time that we worship differently. Not about what drives our emotions. Not what about what drives us in that moment to feel the Spirit, but to worship the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you," as we raise our hands in worship. souls are being released. Our worship is a weapon. Our worship and our praise must be heard all over, that there is a victory. Yes, there is a hallelujah in my spirit. Yes, there is a spirit inside of me that raises me in worship, O Lord. Our witness must stand in the season of time. Our witness must break out from these walls, beyond the four walls. Witnessing will stimulate your spiritual growth. It will lead you to pray and study God's word anew. It will encourage you to depend on Christ and Christ alone. You will experience the tremendous privilege and honor of representing Jesus to the world. There is a personal commitment that you and I must make and do for witnessing. There is a personal commitment. Paul writes this to the church in Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." We must make a personal commitment. Can I quickly share the context of the scripture? The context of the scripture is the Apostle Paul is imprisoned in Ephesus. He will be transferred to Rome. He had a desire to go and minister in Rome. He had a desire to go and be a blessing to the church in Rome. But now he is imprisoned. He's about to be transferred to Rome, and there he will meet his end. There he will be beheaded for the gospel's sake. He writes to the church at Rome. It is the seat of paganism. It is the seat of all authority, power, and control of the known world. Rome is the epicenter of the Roman Empire that has spread across North Africa, the Middle East, into Asia Minor and to Asia Major, into Europe and even the British Islands. For those of you that know geography, if you go back and you read your history, the Roman Empire was one of the greatest empires on the face of the earth. The empire is built on enforcement of rules. The empire is built on the enforcement of regulations and taxation. With the rule of Caesar advanced only but by decree. How do we know this? When Jesus is walking and teaching, and Jesus is on the face of the earth engaging with people, the Roman centurion comes to him and he says, "I am a man in authority and under authority. I say to one, come, and he comes. I say to another, goes, and he goes." He says, "I understand power. I understand authority. I understand control." Jesus says, "Faith like this I have not seen in all of Israel." He says, because this man said, "You can only but speak the word." Because the Romans understood that by decree, Caesar can say one thing and they will all follow what Caesar says. But Jesus turns it on his head. Jesus goes a little bit further. He says, "So if the Romans come to you and they say, carry this packet here," he says, "1 mile. He says, "What do you do to break their hold over you? You take it another mile." He says, "If they want your shirt, you give them your great Gucci jacket, you give it to them as well." He says, "If they slap you on the one cheek, you take the other cheek and you say, slap me again." Because Jesus is trying to give us this understanding that Paul is now enforcing. Yes, you have people that have you under their thumb by rule and by enforcement and by decree. He says, but understand this. There is display of power all around you. There is display of control all around you. But Paul writes to them and say, it is the power of the gospel that is greater than the the power of Rome. It is the power of the gospel that is greater than the decree of Caesar. It is the power of the gospel that is greater than what any man can say. Yesterday, the president passed two laws into law. The other day, he passed many laws into law. But the church of the Lord understands we are not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Power may reside in the union buildings. Power may reside in Parliament. Power may reside in the Supreme Court. But there is a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is greater than any decree of a man and a woman. There is a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is powerful to break us out from where we are. And Paul says we must be unashamed of that power. Paul is saying, yes, Rome rules, but it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. We don't know what the next 14 days holds for this country. We don't know what the political landscape will look like. There will be many a decree and many a negative thing said. Your favorites will be saying irresponsible things. The children of the Lord must say, yes, you can speak and give your directive, but we speak the power of the gospel. When everyone else says this country is facing turmoil, we say, no, the power of the gospel says, let peace prevail, let joy prevail. When they say this country is going under, we say, no, the power of the gospel says that we are the righteousness of the Lord. We are unashamed. We are unashamed. Hear me and hear me well. We are unashamed. Paul is saying, the just shall live by faith. Paul is saying, the just shall live by faith. He juxtaposes the meaning of government might and power that seemingly brings peace and unity with proclamation that those receiving the righteousness the gospel brings, will live by the faith of it. We live by the faith of our righteousness. We live by the faith of our righteousness. So we live in faith because of the power of the gospel and not the rulers of the world. We live by faith because of the justification we receive by our redemption and the righteousness that is given to us. Therefore, we are unashamed. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Can I say it again? The just shall live by faith. That means we call the things that be not as though they were. That means that we have the substance and we have the evidence. That means that righteousness rules and reigns from the house of the Lord and it finds its way everywhere we are. We have this commitment that I walk by faith and not by sight. I know the world is breaking. I know it seems impossible. I know it seems that everything is against us. But the just shall live by faith. We know who our Redeemer is. We know who our God is. We take hold of every promise. We take hold of every blessing. I shall live by faith. Because this is my witness. What's the qualification for witnessing? Oh, Pastor, I thought we can just go and do whatever we want to do. The qualifications for witnessing. Knowledge of the Word of God. That's why you need Disciple U. That's why you need Bible school. That's why you need tribes. Knowledge of the Word of God. Father, increase the knowledge of your word. Increase the desire for your word. May we not sleep until we've read your word. May we not start our day until we've gone to your word. May we not go to meetings without the impartation of your word. May we not, O Lord, attempt any activity of school and extracurricular without the impartation and the immersion of your word. Immerse us in your word, O God. May we not read your word just for ourselves. May we not just read our word for our own blessings, but let the word of the Lord be strong and mighty in this church. We are people of the word. The second qualification is boldness. Father, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. We, O Lord, arise in boldness and courage in this church. I know there are many of you, the Lord has given you a word that you were supposed to speak to somebody in your circle, at work, or in your family, but you were too cowardly in your spirit to release it. Right now, may the spirit of boldness overtake you. May you not be afraid to speak the power of the gospel. The Lord will give you the words. The Lord will give you the opportunity. You will not rest until you release the word. You will not rest until you release your witness. Boldness is in this church. Compassion is a qualification. Compassion is a qualification. You cannot see hurt and walk past it. You cannot see loss and walk past it. You cannot just look at people's statuses and you can see they are crying on their statuses and you are saying, ah, what's wrong with this one today? You pick up the phone and you say, my brother and my sister, today I stand with you in the agreement of faith. Today I pray with you. A few weeks ago, I was bold enough to say to people, be bold and pray for people. The same prayer can be said in two different ways. Where people have no faith, Lord, increase their faith. Where people have faith, Lord, solidify their faith. The same prayer can be said in two different ways. May you have compassion this week. May you not pass by anybody that is bleeding and say, it is not my responsibility. May you not pass by anybody that is hurting and saying, it is not my responsibility. May the Lord put compassion in your heart. And may you say, I am here to serve, to be servant of all and prophet of all. The Lord gives us humility. Humility is a qualification. The Lord abhors the proud. The Lord abhors the proud. The scripture, even in your interpretation of that, says the Lord pulls down the proud. The Lord looks for humility, understanding that it's Him and Him alone. It's Him and Him alone. The Lord looks for obedience. The Lord looks for receptivity, the sensitivity to His guidance. The Lord looks for you and I to be enthusiastic of what He is doing in this world and how He's using us. This morning, family, as we stand in the next few moments, please stand with me. This morning, the Lord's calling this church to be a great witness. The Lord is calling this church to be a great witness. I'm going to give you 7 styles of witnessing. Each one of us, now remember, we're all not that great that we all have all 7. At least one. To qualify for this, we just need to have 1 style. You must find your style of witnessing. Number 1 is prayer. The basics of all types of witnessing. Interceding for the salvation of friends, family, and work associates. Interceding for the salvation of friends, family, and work associates. The Lord is showing you somebody right now. Start praying for them. A family, start praying for them. Colleagues, start praying for them. Friends, start praying for them. Pray for their salvation very quickly. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because prayer is a style of witnessing. Father, raise up the intercession of this church where we step into prayer for those that need you most. Think of our brothers and our sisters. We think of our family and our friends, your colleagues, your work associates, whoever it may be. The Lord is laying them on your hearts right now. The second style of witnessing is friendship. Friendship. Last week I spoke about you and I having life-giving covenantal relationships. Who is the Lord showing you right now that you need to befriend? Who is the Lord showing you right now you need to build a covenant relationship with? If that person is around you, go to them quickly. If that person is around you, go to them quickly. There are some of us, don't look at me like I'm crazy. There are some of us, the Lord has already showed you who you must be in covenant with. But there's always been something stopping you. Now is the moment of your deliverance. Now is the moment of you becoming a friend to somebody who's going to be a blessing to you. So find that person very quickly. If that person is here, if you know the Lord has been saying, get close to that one. Go to them very quickly. Friendship. If not, in your heart, in your mind, say, Lord, I know who you have given me. I know who you have given me. Number three, service. Service, demonstrating God's love, by doing practical acts of service with no strings attached. If you are not serving in this church, but you know the Lord has been telling you to serve, come quickly. If you are not serving in this church, but you know you've got the gift and the grace to serve, I want you to come quickly. You're not connected anywhere. Come quickly. You know you are being called to serve. You're not in service. Come quickly. Don't waste time. Come quickly. They are coming. Put your hands together for them.